This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
She is Mary Kay Cabot from The Plain Dealer and Cleveland.com. And, of course, she is on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Hi, Mary Kay. Hi, Mary Kay. Come on.
Hello, Mary Kay.
Sorry, I've got a little trouble with my mouse, so that's my bad. My bad, Mary Kay. My bad.
Personal problem, Mary Kay.
It's okay. How are you guys doing?
Great. Oh, we're doing good. We're still, you know, what a great game that was on Sunday. I mean, if there was a team in a franchise that needed a game like that, that was exactly what the doctor ordered for Sunday. So, Jeff and I have been sitting here and we're wondering, how does this affect the rest of the season, knowing they only have two wins and wondering what they might do with the trade deadline based on the fact that there's renewed energy in what's going on, especially on the offense?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting because now when you think about it, they're not 100% out of it just yet. And I know it's a little crazy to be talking playoffs like some of the players were talking about yesterday, but if you look at winning this game and then stacking a few more wins, you can't say you're throwing in the towel on the season, and you really can't send that message that you are because they're not out of it yet. The Rams last year made the playoffs after starting 3-6, and there are three teams that have actually made the playoffs after starting 2-6 in the NFL. So you can't really look at it right now as though it's completely 100% over, even though we all know that it's a tremendous, tremendous long shot, but they still have some things to play for this season.
I think the most interesting numbers around Jameis Winston are these, Mary Kay. Since he left Tampa, he's 7-4 as a starting quarterback. And I'm not sure exactly how to think about that, because I always thought he got a kind of a raw deal in New Orleans. Because he did okay there, and injuries and some other things happened there. But I wonder if he's really matured as an on-the-field quarterback since he's left Tampa. What do you think?
Well, I think he has. And he talked to us about this last week on Wednesday when we were asking him about how he's different and what he's learned. And he said that when he got with Drew Brees and Sean Payton in New Orleans, he learned about the plays not to make. And he also learned how to prepare for just that week, to take a microscopic look at the game that you were playing that coming week and figuring out how to attack it for that week. And when he talks about sitting down with the coaches and them trusting each other, I think that's what happened this week. I think he sat down with Ken Dorsey, with Kevin Stefanski, and really went over how they could attack this defense. And it was pretty obvious how you could attack this horrible Ravens pass defense. The order of the day was to take shots downfield and take advantage of it. And when Marlon Humphrey and Nate Wiggins were ruled out of that game, it absolutely reinforced that game plan. So it just kind of was the perfect storm for everyone, and it worked out just the way they needed it to.
What's the difference then between Ken Dorsey and Kevin Stefanski in play calling? Because I still think Kevin's a really good play caller, and I don't other than the fact that we saw him walking around without having a card in front of him on Sunday. Like, help me understand what the difference is or what nuances you saw that were different between Dorsey and Stefanski.
Well, there might not be any differences or many differences between those two as play callers, especially not with the kind of game that was called on Sunday. Now, if you're looking more at the spread and the RPOs and those kinds of things, I think that's where Ken Dorsey might have the advantage because that's what he's so used to calling. So I don't know that Sunday's game would have been all that much different with Kevin Stefanski having the play sheet in his hand.
Sort this out for me. Deshaun's under contract for two more years. DTR is under contract for, what, two more years? And Jameis is under contract for one more year. For this year and not next year. What does that all mean? In other words, who's the quarterback of this team moving forward, if he's even here right now?
It's all still up in the air. It's way too early to make any determinations on who the starting quarterback of the Cleveland Browns is going to be in 2025. We really do not know the answer to that yet. He absolutely might not be here at all. It could be a rookie. It could be a veteran who comes from somewhere else. It could be Jameis. It could be. We really don't know who it's going to be yet. So I think everyone just has to maybe exercise a little bit of patience. While, of course, we have to analyze everything and we have to go over everything and lay out the possibilities and those kinds of things. But I really don't think we have any kind of an answer on that yet.
Mary Kay, do you think Jameis actually has a chance to be the starter here on a long-term basis?
Well, I think he probably has a chance to maybe start if they go out and draft a rookie high in the draft and they want a veteran to come in and maybe start some games first. I think he would have a chance to do that. He would probably be in the mix for that, especially if the vibes are good going forward the way they were with Joe Flacco. And we know why Joe Flacco isn't here, but those same considerations aren't in effect with Jameis Winston. So if there is a feel-good type of situation going on, there is no reason why he couldn't come back and start for them next year. So it's definitely something that I'm sure will be on the table.
What do you think the Browns management is thinking more, Mary Kay? Gosh, we hope Deshaun comes back and is healthy and is good to go, or how can we alleviate this situation and get out of this contract and make it as painless as possible?
You know, it's hard to say. I will say.
It sure
say,
is. It is.
I said this on my podcast. I'm almost to the point where both sides probably need something different. And so I don't know if they're hoping and wishing that he comes back healthy. I laid out a scenario the other day, you know, just trying to set expectations that I don't think it's a foregone conclusion that he's absolutely gone, because if you look at what happened with the Falcons, with Kirk Cousins and Michael Penix, there is a model there that you could follow, but I don't necessarily think that that's good for the fan base. I don't know that it's good for the Browns. I don't know that it's good for Deshaun. It almost seems like at this point, both sides would be better off trying to find a way to move on, but that is not going to be easy. And that's the point that I was trying to make, is that you've got economic considerations here that are enormous, that you do have to think about that. And what people don't understand, because so many people say to me, well, they already have to pay out all that money. So, you know, what difference does it make? Well, the difference that it makes is that if you cut or traded him before June 1st at this point, you're going to trigger a $172 million cap charge for next year, which is untenable. You cannot do that. So this is not as simple as saying, oh, this is a toxic relationship and we need to end it. So, I think that, you really have to figure out how you're going to do this. They're going to have to get creative with it. They're going to have to figure something out if they decide to go in separate directions.
Mary Kay, your thoughts on Denzel Ward? I know we've had this conversation before about concussions. Here he is again in concussion protocol. What do you think the future is there? And again, I say all these things based on Denzel the person, not Denzel the contract, not Denzel the... I mean, at some point, the concussions are... they have to come into a conversation with him and his family again, and... Yeah, I'm just curious what your thoughts are with him and the concussions.
Well, of course, we're all concerned about Denzel. You never want to see a player suffer multiple concussions. I know, I'm sure his family is worried about him. I'm sure the Browns are worried about him. But once again, they're going to lean into what the medical professionals are saying. Denzel has been to see a concussion specialist in Pittsburgh after the fifth one, which happened in August. So they're going to do everything that they possibly can, but he's never felt that he was in the kind of medical danger that, let's say, a Tua has been in these situations. Not that these have been mild, but they haven't been to the point where he's really had to consider giving it up or shutting it down for a while. I actually think that maybe they should think about shutting it down for the rest of the season to avoid a seventh concussion or a third one in the same season. So that's something that, in my opinion, they should be discussing. I don't know if we'll get to that point because Denzel has always been adamant that this has never risen to the occasion that he would have to do anything like that.
Sure is scary, though. You know, we all care about the guy, especially, you know, local guy, Ohio State. We followed him since he was a kid. It's a scary situation. And the guys make enough money, Mary Kay, where you could walk away from the game. But guys want to play football as long as they can. I that's a tough thing for him to balance, even in the situation, as you said, where the folks in Pittsburgh who we visited said, hey, this will be okay. But I would think he's going to have to do some real soul searching on this one.
Yeah, and, you know, as a mom, as a parent, you always wonder, you know, how the parents are feeling about this. And I'm sure that his mom and his brother, he's very, very close to them. I'm sure they're discussing it with him. They might go back and see the concussion specialist again. They might talk to Brown's doctors. I'm sure they'll do all of that. They'll do their due diligence before he goes back out there on the football field. And no one will send him back out there if anybody thinks that it's not safe. But I do think some serious discussions are in order.
Mary Kay, where do you think the Browns are going to be playing in 29? Are they going to be in the current stadium being renovated? Are they going to be maybe perhaps at Burke? Are they going to be at Burke Park? Like every day there seems to be a new twist plot to this, and every time I look, it seems like the next stadium is going to cost more money. I'm just, where do you think they're going to be playing in 29, and where do you think the thing's at right now?
Well, I'm going to say at this moment in time, I'm going to say Burke Park because I really believe – that is what the Haslams want to happen, and that is what the Browns want to happen. These renderings that were released yesterday, I don't think the Browns are on board with that plan. In fact, I know they're not on board with that plan, and I don't know what it would take to get them on board with that plan, but I think they have done some of their own feasibility studies on that Burke site, and I don't think that they believe that that is a economically feasible situation or maybe even perhaps a logistically feasible situation for them. They love what they have going in Brook Park. That's what they want to do. My wish and hope has always been that someone would come in with some minor miracle and find a way to do a dome in downtown Cleveland. I love the city of Cleveland. I was born and raised here. I'm super crazy pro Cleveland, and I would love to see downtown transformed and this region thereby also transformed. But the Browns believe that that can happen also with the Brook Park Dome. So we'll have to see how that all works out. But it is interesting. The renderings are beautiful. They throw a little bit of a monkey wrench or a delay or something into the plans. But I think the Browns are still full steam ahead on Brook Park.
To whose advantage was it to leak those pictures yesterday? What do you think?
Well, I would think the city and the county, who are trying to keep the Browns downtown. So absolutely, 100%, that's who it would benefit.
The thing that's interesting to me is, okay, it's right downtown. You're going to have to spend even more money for something like that. And you know, we haven't heard a ton about the Burke thing, but it was very interesting. It looked really good.
Why did it take this long to come up with that? That's my other problem.
What everybody, I think, needs to understand, Mary Kay, you tell me, though something could happen in the city of Cleveland, you're still sinking tons of public money into something, and the bottom line is you want your football team to have good, you know, a good situation, and the team wants to have a good situation. It just seems to me there's a lot of animosity here and a lot of fighting when there doesn't need to be.
Well, my first thought yesterday was I hope when they released those renderings that they had some kind of intelligence that you can actually build that kind of a structure on that surface, on that land right there. Because if you don't have that, then, you know, then what was that? Just some kind of a ploy or a tactic? If this is not a realistic option, then I don't know that it's smart to get everyone thinking about it or excited about it because, geez, to look at those pictures and to think that you could have something like that downtown, it really does get the wheels spinning in the minds of a lot of people. But if it's not viable or possible, then I think we're doing a disservice to everyone.
Mary Kay, as always, thank you, thank you, thank you. We read you every day, and we always appreciate your time. Thank you, Mary Kay.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Mary Kay.
And, of course, she's in the Plain Dealer and Cleveland.com every day. Make sure you're reading her. And she was on the North Homestead Chrysler, Jeep, Dodge, Ram hotline. Jeff, let's dive into that dome conversation a little bit. The Burke pictures that were leaked yesterday, and your thoughts at 216-474-0092. Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan. What a dome would look like at Burke Lakefront Airport. I agree with a lot of things that Mary Kay said. There's a lot of questions, too, about Burke. I think Mary Kay's right. You know, if you ask me, I would love a downtown dome. I still don't want it on the lakefront. I'm looking at this, and I see...
Lakefront development, Andy.
I don't think a dome needs to be a part of lakefront development. They can do a zillion other things, I would think, if somebody had a creative mind better than mine, to be able to do that. And I'm looking at this... you don't even... I don't know. Jeff, you tell me. You saw these pictures yesterday. What did you think?
I did. Boy, did they look cool.
They do? You know what they kind of look like to me?
Something from outer space?
No, it looks like a bidet. Yeah, from outer space.
Okay.
It does, Jeff. It looks like a toilet seat. It does. Dan said that before, too. You don't think so? But am I offending you by saying, look at the overhead shot and then tell me that doesn't look like that?
It looks like a toilet seat.
It does.
I'm sorry. I've got the marketing team calling Kohler right now.
Oh, well, that's not a bad idea. Yeah.
The Kohler Dome.
Look at that thing. It already has a name, too. No.
No?
What is it? Huntington. This is Huntington Bank Field, correct? That's the name of the current. So it would be. It would have to be Kohler Stadium with Huntington Bank Field.
I mean, if you think they got offended by calling it the Jake, what would this thing be called?
Oh, goodness gracious.
But more than that, and
by the way,
what
hasn't everything about Burke just been like some idea somebody threw out? It's like, boy, there's a lot of land there. Boy, that airport we hear is going away. What's the mayor? Let's put a dome there. Has anybody done any testing and everything else? I mean, wouldn't it cost a ton to put that thing there?
So
on regular land that's sitting out by the airport that doesn't border a lake.
According to Daryl Ryder, sources tell 92.3 The Fan, the Haslam Sports Group has estimated the construction of a dome at Burke Lakefront Airport starting at $3.3 billion. Assuming construction begins at 2026, but the team's contribution would be capped at $1.2 billion, meaning an additional $900 million plus hundreds of millions in infrastructure costs would be added to the project, public contribution to the project. So Daryl's saying that you'd add another $1 billion to this thing. Site availability and construction delays could add another $1.6 billion to the original cost estimate, depending on the length of the delay. Jeff, if you're looking at a $3.3 billion dome, guess what? You could probably do that at Brook Park and have it be retractable.
That's really true.
If you were going to spend $3.3 billion, that was the initial cost that we'd heard. Unretractable. That's why everything was kind of getting stopped at, how much are they going to spend on this and where are they going with that? I don't know. I look at this thing and to me, this just seems like a last, ditch effort to try to come up with something. Hey, look, if they want to do it and it doesn't cost the taxpayers anything, then that's the best looking toilet I've ever seen in my life. Wow. I'm all for it.
Somebody just came up with some kind of a plan and put a dome stadium there that you guys think resembles a toilet. It's not like it's like the plan for this thing.
Sure it is. Why wouldn't that be? Because why would you spend money on something that wouldn't be the plan?
Because you have somebody who's really cool at computer graphics and they plopped one there.
Do you think that they paid like $50 to have somebody do this rendering and put it out there? Because, Jeff,
if they did,
what a waste of money.
If somebody actually did blueprints and everything else and designed an entire stadium, that's hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Well, don't you think
who do you think spent that? Wasn't the team? Wasn't the city?
The team did on their render and for what they want to do at Brook Park.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because the team is serious. Somebody's just throwing out something about Burke. That's all that is. Sorry. Nobody's saying here. Here's the entire infrastructure of how this gets done.
Wow, it looks exactly like what the entire. I mean, they've already got new Shoreway Boulevard.
It's a picture. The Browns have actual plans for Brook Park.
You don't think that these are plans?
No. I would be stunned if all of the research that has been done on Brook Park has been done by somebody other than the city or the Browns for a pie in the sky idea at Burke Lakefront Airport. I would be stunned.
I normally would agree with you on some stuff, but I think that there's that somebody put more into it than just creating a picture of what this would look like. I still some of the other problems would exist.
I don't know, man.
That you're looking at this. But Daryl's story, where you're talking about more taxpayer money to do this. And by the way, where are the Browns going to play while they're doing this? And do they have to keep the stadium? And then how much more money do they have to keep putting into the stadium until this might be ready? Because it looks like, and if I'm just kind of look, where's the Rock Hall on this thing? I don't even see where the Rock Hall went on it. I see the Coast Guard station over there. Oh, there's Voinovich Park. Okay, so I see where it is. Okay.
I just don't think this is a legit alternative. I think somebody just put something together and said, hey, look what we could do at the airport. Could be wrong on that.
And this would take up about, according to so this is master plan. Again, I'm looking at the Neotrans blog on some of the stuff too, because you got to give them credit because they did some work on this stuff too. But
they've been all over this stuff too.
Yeah, but it looks like they would split this into three different kind of parts. And I don't know. I look at all this stuff and I'm just, again, it gets back to cost and feasibility. Look, if they want to spend more money, hire more people, put more of the building trades to work, knock it out, baby. Spend $3 billion. Just don't go, it's already bad enough we're talking about taxpayers.
Who's going to pay for that?
I agree.
County suddenly going to say, oh, yeah, we like that one.
Wait a minute. But the county didn't like it when the stadium was going to be in another part of the county?
That's correct.
That's Donald Hunt.
That's correct.
The county makes no sense to me at all on any of this stuff. And I've said it since the beginning. Like, the city, I can understand. And does the city still want to be a landlord? That's another question.
Apparently, nobody wants to be a landlord over a gateway either.
The county, makes... I'm still perplexed by the county saying, well, we want downtown, you can have money, but you can't have money in Burke Park. Well, any other... Does that chap anybody else in Cuyahoga County? I mean, if you live in a suburb anywhere outside, Cuyahoga County doesn't realize that there are other cities in Cuyahoga County other than Cleveland. And we all love Cleveland. We all know Cleveland's the center. We want Cleveland to sing, and we want all that stuff to do. But, man, if I'm the county, I just keep my mouth shut. There's no reason for the county to say anything. You represent everyone in the county. Why do you suddenly go, oh, well, if it's in Cleveland, we have money, but we don't if it's... If it's in Brook Park, that to me is like the ultimate just kind of slap in the face. And it doesn't make any sense. But so looking at these renderings then, Jeff, I'm just kind of, more of your thoughts. Again, if they wanted to put this there and figure out a way to make it more feasible and have it downtown, man, I am all for downtown. I am all for more than 15 dates a year. And I am all for putting the good people of Northeast Ohio to work and let them build this.
Which, of course, you would also do in Brook Park.
Yeah.
I couldn't agree with you more. You want to put it downtown? You find something that's viable, that's affordable, that you can somehow finance? Fine. I think it would be really cool at Burke Lakefront Airport. That would be really cool. But haven't really seen that's a viable option other than a really cool graphic that ends up on Cleveland.com.
And here's the other thing. How long would it take to shut down Burke? The reason that this is all coming to a head right now is they need to put some shovels in the ground. Because that lease runs out. It runs out. Andy is in Berea. Hi, Andy. How are you?
Hey, guys. Yeah, well, there's a lot of shovels that have to hit the ground. Because if you're going to get rid of Burke, you have to now find another feeder airport for Hopkins, right?
Right. So does that become Cuyahoga County Airport?
Yeah. I mean, there's no other airport. So I worked at the airport for a little bit, but
Hopkins or Cuyahoga County Airport?
Well, our office was in Hopkins, but I
gotcha.
Did the project for both. But the
Andy, before you go any further, can you explain that to everybody there? That because I've been told this several times that one of the things about Burke is that it's an emergency landing spot for Hopkins. Is that true?
Yeah, you can't have a major airport like that without having a backup. So
gotcha. And are there any other runways that are even close? Like Cuyahoga is the only you just have to extend Cuyahoga, and that would probably mean, all those people like playing at the golf course out there, that would probably mean the end of the golf course, wouldn't it, if they had to extend that runway? I'm just saying.
It's
like one of the most affordable golf courses in the world. I love that place.
Nah, but this is the city. I mean, doesn't it feel like Charlie Brown and the football? It's like it's almost every year, like, here's the development of Lakefront. They've had 75 years to do it. They've never done a thing. And what's wrong with, you know, spreading development around the city of Cleveland? Perhaps, maybe, if we built that thing right across from the airport, who knows? You get a scouting combine there. Perhaps you become a hub again.
That'd be great. I mean, looking at that empty wing where Continental once sits, and I drive by it all the time. It just bums me out.
You know what? That was a switch in the dynamics of airport travel. They were going to a regional thing at the time, and then that just kind of blew apart. But we never had to pay for that. That was all on United Continental.
So that's good. Okay, at least they're still paying for it. Thank you, Andy. Appreciate it.
All right, guys. Thanks.
All right, take care.
Thank you, Andy.
All right, your thoughts. Did you get a chance to see the drawings of what a dome would look like at Burke? You tell me. Is that the right option? Is that where they should be heading? Should we take another deep breath and try to figure out where the Browns are going with this? Because if you ask me, this thing's heading to Burke Park. I can't see any other direction, but you never know. It's politics in Cleveland. 216-474-0092. Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan. Chris Fedor joins us in the noon hour. We'll talk to him about the Cavaliers. There you have it. He's Jeff Phelps. I'm Andy Baskin. 216-474-0092. Continuing just kind of this conversation we had, we started with Mary Kay, and it kind of broke yesterday, the pictures or the renderings. Why do you keep looking at me like I'm crazy when I say broke?
Because I think...
Because it got leaked. The pictures got leaked. That's like what everyone...
I think this is a complete fabrication.
What do you mean?
Clearly...
Well,
it's
Destination Cleveland.
Right. Clearly they're trying to put some stuff out there. Okay, great. Show me anybody who said anything about, let's pay for it, here's how we're doing it, this is everything. This is like, hey, you could put this here. Well, swell. That's great.
Well, Daryl had facts on what it would cost.
Okay. Well, great. And Daryl's been all over this.
Yeah.
But this is just like somebody coming in out of the blue and just saying, oh, you could put it here. And because I haven't, you know, we don't hear the Browns interested. We don't hear the city interested. It's Destination Cleveland. I get it. Good for them.
But Destination Cleveland.
It could be really cool. But, I mean, seriously, could you imagine putting something like that at Burke?
Here's the other problem.
It could be great.
Yeah, it could be great. But if I'm Destination Cleveland, I'm also Switzerland on this thing. Well, yeah. It doesn't do them any good to start backing one place or another, because they're the ones that ultimately are the ones that can help us bring anything beyond 15 football games here.
Andy, I get
along with the sports.
I get the idea of the tax base and if it's in the city of Cleveland and everything else.
Sure.
Okay. I also get that Cuyahoga County is a big county, and that Brook Park is just down the street from Cleveland. And the city of Cleveland will benefit greatly by a dome and all of the development that would go in Brook Park. You know, it's not necessarily in Cleveland, but man, the city's going to benefit like crazy just as well. You're going to get, you know, hotels and restaurants and everything else. The ones that are already here in the city,
right,
are going to get used. I mean, you bring more stuff to Northeast Ohio, where are folks going to go?
They've got to stay somewhere.
Right. You're not going to spend all your free time in Brook Park. You're coming to Cleveland.
I keep harkening back to the National.
I'm in downtown.
So to the National Sports Collectors that was here a couple months ago. And as I'm walking to work, I'm saying to myself, well, this is at the IX Center. And I can't tell you the hotel that's even next to our building, how many people were wearing credentials to get into that, because they had to stay downtown. They had to stay downtown and go out there. And, you know, the Rapids working well, you can get out there. How quick, Dan? How far from downtown to airport on the Rapid? How long does it take?
About 25 minutes to a half hour. It's not bad.
You don't have to drive. You just walk. I mean, I don't know. At the end of the day, the Browns are going to end up playing somewhere else, I think. My biggest fear is that, here's what happens. Browns end up moving to Brook Park. City doesn't have any money. County doesn't want to put any money. I have a feeling that the current stadium sits there for 25 years, empty.
Do you?
Because development doesn't get done.
Daryl is the guy who's been all over this for us, and he's done such a great job on this. Do you think the city actually wants the Browns to stay in Cleveland? Do you actually think the
depends? I'm sure there are people on council that want the Browns to stay.
Do you think the city actually wants to sink all of that money into the renovation of the current stadium?
No.
I'm hard pressed to think that that's what they actually really want.
Do they want or do they even have the money to do it?
Exactly. Is this just trying to save face here by saying,
yes,
we want the Browns in downtown Cleveland, we're willing to do this and this and this? Man, if I'm the city, okay, we could sink all of that money into that stadium, or we could sink all of that money into getting rid of that stadium and developing the lakefront. Which actually serves the city better?
I
sink it into city services, sink it into, you know, all kinds of different things you could do. Rather than throw that money into an old stadium that wasn't built to be absolute state of the art. And again, my contention has always been, and I believe this, I believe it. It's a great place to watch a football game. If you want more than that, then you're going to have to do something different. If you just want to go watch a football game, that place is just fine. But the Haslams want more than that. Every NFL owner wants more than that. My guess is the city probably wants more than that. And sinking all of that money into renovating the current stadium just seems like a silly idea.
I don't even think it's on the table anymore. If you've got this, if these pictures being leaked yesterday.
Have you ever heard the city say anything about, we would like to put a dome on Burke? I've not seen that anywhere. The actual city who would have to pay for it. Destination Cleveland, great. They want people to come to Cleveland, great.
I mean, the county seemed to be in favor of lakefront development. Let's see
the county pony up.
Robert is in Brecksville. Hi, Robert.
Robert.
All right. So I can tell you for a fact, one of the businesses or companies or organizations that did not release the renderings of that is Sherwin-Williams. Because if you look at that, the first thing I noticed, if you're looking at the one image at the screenshot is from camera angles from over the lake looking towards Public Square, Sherwin Tower doesn't exist. So apparently this new stadium is going to cost Sherwin their new building. So I know they didn't release it.
You know, and now hang on a second. Hang on, Robert. Yeah. Jeff, what was I saying to you guys on the conference call as I was driving in on I-90?
You said yesterday, you can't see the Sherwin.
I said yesterday that the first time when you're on I-90 and you drive in, the first place you can see the new Sherwin-Williams building is on West 3rd when you get off to go to the stadium. Like, once you hit that little corner, it's blocked by all the other buildings.
I know what you're talking about. So, and then the second thing, too, is apparently this is also going to cost the lakefront, the USS Cod, because of rendering. It does not include the USS Cod next to the Coast Guard station. So,
What are you doing with the Mather?
Oh, my God. This is a joke. You know what I do for a living? I am pro Brook Park. I mean, I'm just waiting for that news story to break that the Haslam signed formally. They forked over the money, and the shovels are in the ground in December.
Thank you, Robert.
That's all I'm waiting for.
Appreciate it. Thank you for the phone call.
Thank you, Robert.
Roosevelt's in Cleveland. Hi, Rosie.
Roosevelt.
Hey, how y'all doing?
Is it cool calling you Rosie? I should ask you that before I actually called you Rosie.
That's all right. It's cool.
All right.
I've been calling that before.
All righty. What do you got for us?
And maybe worse.
I got the solution to the whole thing.
Here comes the solution. Thank you.
There you go. Build both of them, the lakefront and Brook Park. Do them both.
And let them compete for the Browns.
That would be $9 billion worth of new stadium.
And you know what?
Throw another $2 billion into the old one, too.
Renovate the old one. What the hey?
Do all three.
As long as we're at it.
Tear the old one down and push it in the lake. Build both of them.
Good
build
fishing.
Build both domes, Brook Park and Burke Lakefront Airport, because you're going to bring NCAA games here. You're going to bring college football.
Yeah.
You bring everything.
Yeah.
You're going to do everything. You got two domes in Cleveland. What will you not have?
Got two domes
That's
in
true.
Houston.
That
the Astrodome still stands.
Let the Haslams build theirs in Brook Park. Let the city build theirs on Burke Lakefront Airport property. Develop the lakefront, whatever they want to do.
That would be great. You could use the dome on the lakefront without the Browns twice a year.
And they did build Municipal Stadium without a tenant.
There you go. And everybody's happy.
All right.
Everybody's got jobs. Okay. Downtown is happy when they have things up at the lakefront dome. Brook Park is happy when they have things at the Brook Park dome. I mean, come on.
IX Center's happy.
Are they?
It's a win-win situation.
Rosie, are you going to run? Because I'll vote for you. How's that sound? Why don't you run for something?
Well, you know, I worked for James Brown 47 years.
I know.
We know.
But cover.
That's awesome.
That's all. I want to run for cover. That's it.
All right. At least you feel good, right? Thank you, Rosie.
I felt good for a long time.
There we go. Roosevelt. There you go. Solutions. That's what this show is all about.
Let's build two multi-billion-dollar facilities. Now. How many times would the one on the lakefront be used without the Browns? Maybe twice? You could put a baseball field in it and use it in April. Oh, wait a minute. Guardians wouldn't want that.
No, they just they're in phase two of rebuilding their stadium.
I know.
What? How about these new soccer teams? Could a new soccer team?
Andy, don't entertain that, please.
Can we get a NASCAR race?
In the dome.
In the dome, yeah.
Hi, we've had 10,000 people die of carbon monoxide poisoning.
That's probably a bad idea, isn't it?
Yeah, probably a bad idea.
Maybe they could just put, you know what? If we're going to spend all the money, let's make it retractable.
Okay.
I'll be at the downtown dome all the time if it's retractable. And the Browns should be, too, because we can't afford to lose that home field advantage in the snow.
Just stop.
Dan, any chance we get soccer at the new stadium downtown?
Stop.
In the new dome.
I got a lot of jokes. And fearless leaders already got us in a meeting today, and I don't want it to go any longer.
It's a good idea.
If they kept the old stadium and built – this I'm halfway serious about. If they kept the old stadium and put some money into that – but the problem is the Haslams own the MLS team in Columbus, so forget about that. So that's not going to happen. And the field isn't big enough for MLS, is it? Always
it's not
have
big
problems.
Enough.
Yeah, so
you can't put an international soccer competition in there.
You could with renovation.
You need that's bigger sidelines, so you'd have to knock out some seats.
You
in the
could
stadium.
With renovation,
but we could handle all kids, Cuyahoga County. Because the county knows that that stadium is in the county so that we can have little kids' games there.
That would be perfect. High school as well.
Can I tell you one thing? Let me just say this. This is the one thing that always impressed me about the Dome in Minneapolis, the old one, even the Metrodome, which I still think they're still doing this in the new one, the U.S. Bank one, is that every time that I was in there, I mean every time, whether it was Gopher football or it was, you know, Indians Twins, or
chef in the media room there, by the way.
Yeah, I don't know that I ever covered a Browns game there. But when I was there for college football or for that, they always had kids games going on before.
Yeah, it was cool.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And like they would take the field and before the Minnesota games and after. Then the other thing that I always thought was awesome was after the Twins game. So, you know, they'd clear the venue, or if you wanted to stay, you could stay. They would always have high school games inside the Metrodome. I must have saw four or five of them while I was there. But it was just the ability to use a venue for more than just professional whatever.
Stay off the grass. You're going to hurt the grass. We need it for the team.
No, that's here. That's here. That's our ballpark, too, by
that's
the
what
way.
I meant.
Yeah.
That's what I meant.
I've always told you that great story, haven't I? It was the last game of the season. Real quick. Last game of the season, I'm doing the postgame show on Fox, right?
Yeah.
And I'm sitting in front of the dugout where I normally do. And the game's over, and all of a sudden the sprinklers come on.
Yeah.
So I turned to the head groundskeeper at the time, and I'm like, dude, why do the sprinklers go on? And he was like, well, they're on a timer. And I looked at him, I said, and if this game went extra innings, they still would have gone off? And he walked away. He was not very happy with me at that moment. And I wasn't very happy with him because I was soaked doing the show. Maybe I got what was coming to me.
Yeah, I'm not going to say a word.
All right, let's get into the Cavaliers. How about that? How about the way they're playing? They're undefeated. Can they run a perfect table? Help me, Jeff. Help me.
I'm guessing no, Andy.
They can't? They can't be 82-0?
I'm guessing no, that is not going to happen.
I can't have everything that I want?
No, you can't. That's not going to happen.
Okay, well, if that's the next case, then we'll just have to move on.
81-1?
Oh, who's the loss to, Jeff?
I don't know.
216-474-0092.